Hi, y'all. Welcome to season two of the Mad City Moms podcast. This is your host, Jamie Toe. Each week, I highlight a local business owner, talk about events going around the city, aka Mad City, gossip about pulp culture, which is my favorite part, and always end with a mom life story. Hope y'all enjoy. Hi there, happy Wednesday, it's Jamie, and y'all, I'm so thrilled tonight. Lauren Peterson from Travel Patterns is with us, yay! Hey. Cheers.
Hello. Cheers, hey mommy.
So I'm drinking red in honor of Lauren tonight. Normally I am a PG girl, but I'm doing Pinot Noir for you.
Thank you
I will do a little Pinot Noir on occasion. So I'm so happy you're here. So y'all, before I pass to Lauren to talk about herself and her family before we get into the nitty-gritty, Lauren and I met when I went to Travel Patterns for a Bryn Mawr workshop.
Yes, with Jessica.
With Jessica, and like immediately fell in love with her and her store, and I like have been dying to get you on. So you're here, and I'm so excited.
I am so, so thankful and honored to be here.
Yes, girl. Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, how far back do we go in this show?
Like, how long have you lived in the city, your family, how many kids you have? Okay. Like, what's your story?
Yeah, okay, that's great. I graduated from high school here, but I live in Huntsville and went to Auburn. I got my degree in interior design, and then I moved to Chicago to start my design career. Didn't want to leave. And then the economy crashed. Okay. So this was 2008. Or aging myself. 2008, I was living in Chicago, and you know, at that time when you're like, the world can't touch me, I just graduated, I'm doing all these fun things, I didn't know anything that was going on in the world. So naive.
Good lessons?
Yeah, lots of good lessons, but obviously it was like praying through what transitions needed to be made, and it became pretty clear pretty quickly that there weren't going to be any paths forward in Chicago for a little bit.
Okay.
Friends were getting laid off. The design firm that I worked for wasn't hiring anybody, and they were laying off, you know, some of the employees that had been there for a while. So it very quickly I realized that the situation was a little bit more than what my little naive self had thought that it was. So all of my dreams were dashed of being an interior designer in Chicago. Yeah, but it's fine. I mean, obviously everything works out for a reason. Yeah, it does. But my mom was still here in Huntsville, so I just made the responsible decision to come back home and like sit with her for a little bit while I kind of like regrouped and figured out what to do. And literally within like 6 weeks, I got an interior design job with the Army.
Oh, wow.
When all of my friends were getting laid off. So I'm like, okay, I see what's happening. Never would have in a million years.
How do you do interior design for the Army?
Yeah, good question, right? Like, I'm like, first, I didn't even know the government had interior designing.
Yeah.
So I worked, I was with the Army for about 10 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, we can get into that a little bit. But they had the teams that I was on, we ended up having almost 30 interior designers by the time that I left, and that's all here in Huntsville. Anyway, so the military has interior designers on staff. Most people are like, what? And what do you do? That doesn't make any sense. Even people in the military were like, I'm sorry, who's this interior decorator coming in here? I'm like, no, we are not decorators. The military does not pay us to decorate.
Right.
Anyway, whoa, I digress. We just jumped right in.
No, that's very intriguing. Okay.
So I ended up back in Huntsville, and I just landed a really, really amazing job with the Army Corps of Engineers as an interior designer here. And when the economy was down and all my friends doing really fun, cool interior design, I'm like, all right, I'll take this job. And it was amazing. And like I said, I did that for 10 years, yeah. Which I started Travel Patterns on the side. So it was a side hustle for a little bit. So the Lauren that you see now and the business that you see now definitely wasn't the case when I started. But so I was doing interior design for the Army. The last 5 years of my career, I didn't even do anything in the United States. It was all overseas. So
give an example of what you would do.
Yeah, just so people know. It's very, very niche. Yeah,
okay.
It's super niche because most people are like, oh, interior design. They think interior decorating. They think HGTV. A lot of people think residential design.
Yes, which that's definitely where your mind goes.
Yeah,
my mind.
Exactly. And I mean, HGTV has done an amazing job of like highlighting that side of the design world, but no, I was doing healthcare design specifically.
Okay.
And we were very niche in managing furniture. So if you think about every military building needs furniture and somebody has to handle that. So I worked on a team that basically oversaw any Army healthcare facility that was purchasing furniture. We handled it.
Wow.
So, and I was
specifically... Who knows of all these jobs that are out there?
I know.
It's just so crazy. I mean, like, what I, like, randomly, not to turn it to me, like, what I've been doing, I work for AT&T.
Yeah.
Like, regularly.
Yeah.
And what I do, like, I always think about it if I go, like, on a talk show or a reality show, which, who knows, never say never.
I mean, you're creating your own reality show right here.
If they say, like, what do? Like, I have zero idea how to explain it. Like, it's so different in the telecom world. Well, I mean, you could just say, like, a project manager. Or you could make it, like, so, like, vague like that. Or, like, you know, encapsulates, like, more things. But, like, there's so many different jobs that, like, you'd have no idea exist. So I had no idea that existed. That's amazing.
Yes. So interior design for the Army for a long time. And like I said, the last 5 years, I was basically a design project manager. And I was the international project manager.
So you got to travel all around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, tell us where you went.
Yeah. So the places I went the most. So my regions were Europe and the Pacific Rim. So, like... Spent a lot of time in Germany because, you know, there's a lot of army hubs in Germany, especially when it comes to healthcare. If you've seen any sort of like military movie, like that's overseas, a lot of times they'll mention Landstuhl. It's a huge military hospital in Germany. Ooh. So anybody that's like in theater, actually like fighting overseas, if they're over in Middle East, Africa, most likely they're going to land in Germany first before they actually come back. So there's a huge healthcare hub. Sorry, I wasn't actually...
No,
I wasn't
like totally
planning on talking about this.
Yeah, we'll get to travel patterns.
Yeah, we'll get to travel patterns in a minute. But anyway, so that military hospital was one of my biggest projects. So we basically managed any new furniture procurements that needed to happen with there. Again, all healthcare. And then I did several brand new hospitals. We built a hospital in Korea. So there's another huge tri-services hospital in Honolulu. So, I mean, I guess technically that's the United States, but that was part of the Pacific Rim. So that was one of our big clients. So really any like major like healthcare project that was happening that needed furniture procurement.
Where was the most favorite place that you went?
Oh God, that's so hard. Okay. Well, they're all so different, right? Because I love Europe. I've spent a lot of time in Europe. So Germany's just absolutely beautiful and really special.
I've heard that.
So I love Germany. I could literally sit in a pub and drink some beer not all the time. I sound like an alcoholic.
No, but
there's just something about like the slower culture there that was really nice. But getting to go to Hawaii a lot was really fun.
Yeah.
It's not like I wasn't sitting on the beach. Like we were actually working half the time, and most of the time I was by myself. So that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
But getting to know the places was really special because you get to spend so much time there that you become more like a local, right?
Sure.
Like I had like my favorite restaurants and you would be looking for like little hole in the wall stuff. So that was really special. But I also love Asia. Here's the thing, Jamie. I love all the places.
I love to travel, obviously.
I loved Korea. Yeah, I loved going to Korea. But those would have probably been the three like biggest that I repeatedly like went back to for that job in the last like few years.
Okay, so let me set this scene here. So you're doing this and then on the side you kind of start Travel Patterns. Did like the name come to you? Like how did you
No, it's actually a rebrand.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So okay. Let's go back to do you want to go back to college?
Let's do it.
What's your degree in?
If you work communication.
Oh my gosh, of course. So you have a podcast.
Well, but it wasn't like telecommunication.
Sure.
So, but it was still like communication.
Yeah.
So
That's amazing.
I honestly didn't think about like how it connects now. I just picked a major that didn't need math because I suck at math so bad.
Same. Are you going to ask me what's my like worst part about running a business?
Oh my gosh. Is it the admin math? Is it the finance part?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, if I could just make a spreadsheet. I mean, I can handle a spreadsheet, but it's very painful for me.
Yes. It would be the same for me. My son's like loving math, and I'm like, I don't know how you got this in your brain because your dad and I are like not good at math. We're communicators. I mean, anyway, hospitality is my husband's.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
I love hospitality design.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that ties in. Okay. Yeah. So anyway.
Okay, so wait, back in college, you know, studying interior design, I always wanted to end up owning my own company. My dad's an architect. He's owned his own firm.
You had, like, that entrepreneurial.
Yeah, so I've been around entrepreneurship for a long time. Like, that didn't scare me. So it felt like a natural progression that eventually I would own my own company, but I thought I would just be an interior design firm. But I always wanted to go. It's wise to go work for somebody else, get some experience out in the real world first. So, like, that was kind of always my plan, was to go work for somebody else and then maybe own my own company, but didn't really know what that would look like.
Yes.
And then lo and behold, obviously, economy crashed, and I end up with a government civilian job, which, again, was absolutely amazing. But there were definitely some dry. It's not as creative. I mean, you've been to the shop. Like, it is a little... the jewel box of a rainbow. That is not the kind of stuff that we designed for the military. So I loved that career for a different reason. But there was just a lot more of me that I really wanted to go out and try something else. And I didn't really know what that looked like. So I was traveling a lot for work, but I was also single at the time, and I was traveling.
That's the best time to travel.
It was such a special time in my life.
I wish I could go back to myself, like, in my 20s. Like, travel, girl. Why are you staying home on the weekends? I mean, I would go out on the weekends.
Yeah.
Like, but I wish I had, like, traveled more. Yeah. Because
I lived in Denver.
I lived in Denver at that time.
Fun.
So it was great. I mean, I would go out all the time. But, like, I wouldn't, like, say, let's go here.
Sure.
Anyway.
So that was one of the really amazing things. Like, I felt really fortunate to be here in Huntsville because, okay, at the time, there was nothing going on in Huntsville for young professionals. It is nothing like what's happening, like, in Huntsville and Madison right now. It's nuts. Like, it's amazing to see, like, what's happening here in our community. But, you know, back in 2009, that was not happening. So we would usually get out of town, and I was fortunate enough to have, like, some other young single girlfriends, and we had good jobs, so we would just leave town. We'd go to Thailand, we'd go to Europe, you know, whatever.
Wow.
We're going out.
Love that.
And I really love, like, different cultures and, like, immersing myself in different experiences.
Yes.
So we would find, like I said, like, my friends and I would just choose really interesting places that we wanted to go visit. And so, you know, you kind of have this spark of, like, what are the things that are, like, special to you? What are the things that you're interested in? And so for me, it was always traveling and immersing myself into the different cultures. And so what was happening is I was bringing back all this really cool things, like, either for my house.
So you would like go travel, and then you'd, like, look at places, like, look at, like, the shops, or you'd go, like, shopping, and you'd be like, okay,
markets. Okay. Yep. Yeah. And obviously, again, like, with my design background, like, we studied a lot of different cultures. So I had a nice background of, like, traditional textiles and different patterns and stuff that we had to study in school. So, like, I had a good base foundation of that.
Sure.
And not to get too detailed, but, like, my family has a history of textiles as well. Like, my grandmother, they raised sheep and goats, and she would literally shear them, spin their wool on a spinning wheel.
No way.
Yes. She would literally spin her own yarn on a spinning wheel. Like, this is what I grew up with.
Oh my gosh, that's so special.
Yeah. So I think, like, you know, when you look back at, like, the things that really, like, marked you and were really meaningful to you, you kind of see those things, like, come out later in life. So my grandparents, which we don't have to get into that, but they were really, really special to me. And I see a lot of who I am and the things that are special to me. Like, I see that in who they were. They've since passed on, but
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, that's okay. They lived really amazing lives. But traveling, young single person, like, literally just, like, buying stuff for myself. But I kept, like, going on these trips, and I'm like, I just want to spend more time with these incredible artisans. I think also going back to, like, my grandmother and watching her have this, like, artisanal work, I just really wanted to get closer and deeper. And every single trip that I kept going on, like, just kind of left a little peace in my heart that I really wanted to, I don't know, just connect deeper. And again, I'm still working full time, but I went on a trip to, went on a bunch of trips, but specifically the one to Thailand and Cambodia. You know, I mean, like, we have markets here, right? Most sure. people think, like, okay, foreign markets are, oh, they're just like handicraft markets. I'm like, literally, it's just like a farmer's market here where you have, like, you have the fruit stands and, like, the farmer stands, but then you also have the small businesses that are bringing out their amazing crafts, literally just like we have here in the U.S. So, okay. like, foreign markets are the same thing. So we would be shopping with, like, family businesses and stuff. Anyway, so I was bringing back these really cool things, styling in my home, wearing them with my outfits, and my friends kept being like, where did you get that, Lauren? Oh, you got that in India? I can't get that one-of-a-kind amazing item that you have. And that kind of just kept happening over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And finally, I was like, you know, if I'm already going to these places, like, what if I just built deeper relationships with, you know, the different family businesses? And obviously that has morphed way more than I ever thought I could at the time. But the original plan was, I'll just travel somewhere, save up a bunch of my own money, buy a bunch of product from whoever I meet, different family businesses I can get connected with,
mm-hmm.
come back, resell the product, and then do it all over again. Because I'm like, I have a full-time job. Like, I'm just going to do this when I can.
Yeah.
So this is circa 2014.
Okay.
So that's when I actually started my first LLC, was 2014.
Okay.
And we went to India. My family went with me. I wasn't married at the time. I mean, I was dating somebody, but he now is, like, fully invested. But my family went with me to India, and I had already been a couple of times, and I was very familiar with the traditional handicrafts there. But went to India, bought a bunch of products. We came back. I had a pop-up at my house downtown. I wish that you had... When did you guys move here?
2014. 2013, 2014.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so literally this was where we just started, but I was living in downtown Huntsville, which, again, nothing was in downtown
Huntsville. I can't even imagine.
Yes, there was nothing. And I lived down there for, like, 7 years before, like, Honest didn't exist. Like, all these really cool places.
Now
I'm like, there's amazing things down there. I mean, yes. we still live within walking distance, but not in this old historic house that we live in. Anyway, so the whole concept was, I have a full-time job, but we'll go buy a bunch of stuff, come back, I'll throw a really cool pop-up. We basically called it, like, a fancy yard sale, which it wasn't anything like that. It was a pop-up, and we, like, styled it out. I literally set it up like,
oh my gosh,
a little retail shop on my back porch. We had people lined up down the block, and
no,
I sold out
way.
In 45 minutes.
Oh my god, that's when a sign to open something, like, what is?
Yeah, so my now husband, but boyfriend at the time, was like, no, this is weird. You know, I mean, obviously he believes in me. He's very supportive,
sure.
But he's like, okay, I don't, like, whatever. Like, this stuff isn't meaningful to him.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay, so you might be on to something. And I'm like, I guess so. So we did it again. We went to Guatemala the next trip and had another pop-up. This one was at Lincoln Mill. So basically, that's kind of how the business started, is I was working full-time as an interior designer, but doing this, like, cool handicraft curating, I guess, on the side, having this fun, like, unique pop-up, because pop-ups didn't exist. None of the markets that now exist in Huntsville didn't exist at the time. And
yeah.
I'm like, I just really want a really fun curated pop-up that looks like a little store for a day, that's not like a farmer's market. Not to knock a farmer's market,
sure.
But I'm like, these products aren't farmer's market products.
Right.
These are retail products, but I don't have a retail shop. But now we do. So that's kind of where we started in 2014, was really curating.
Okay.
Yeah, just curating.
And when did you pull the trigger and say, I'm going to do this full time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, have a sip of water.
Yeah.
I think.
So I would say we did that for 2 years.
Mm.
And I actually got, my husband and I got married in 2016. So about 2 years after I started the business, and we were just doing the, you know, 1 to 2 pop-ups a year while still working full time, I had learned a lot about how to interact with different artisan groups, like, learned about quality control and shipping and minimums and like, you know, actual business stuff and like business things. And so we basically, within the first couple of years, we kind of realized we needed to kind of shift how we were doing business and what we were looking for in terms of products and how to get them and the type of partner we were looking for. You know, we started asking real business questions.
Yeah.
And we're like, all right, we want to make this a real business. I don't want to do a side hustle anymore. So how do we do that? And so in 2016, I looked at rebranding the company. So that's when it became Travel Patterns.
Okay.
So we rebranded from the original business name to Travel Patterns, had it branded, did all of kind of the background work, like the behind the scenes stuff. And then my husband and I seriously started talking about me stepping away from my job, but we financially planned for a year and a half before I actually did that.
Okay.
So we relaunched the company. I actually relaunched with a wholesale line that was, I designed everything. It was handmade just for us. Like there were actually our products. So that was when Travel Patterns came back out. It was literally our products, and it, you know, that took about a year or whatever. And then 2017, we started financially planning for me to quit, you know, for me to step away from my full-time job, which that was super hard. Like you have so much identity like wrapped up in just a job that provides you with a lot of things. Like I was, like I had a lot of pride in the work that I did with that job and the team that I worked with. So it's interesting because like I didn't step away from my job because I didn't like it. It just felt like I couldn't do both anymore.
You couldn't do it all. Right.
Yeah, I just couldn't do both. And so we chose to give the small business a go. And I don't regret it.
Yes.
It's super hard. But I don't regret it.
Do you feel like you work like 1,000 times harder than you did at your other job?
Yeah. I mean, the other job was pretty demanding, but it's different demanding, right? Because you have a team and you have like a huge support group, whereas like I'm pretty much on my own. I mean, there are definitely people like supporting. I can't do it 100% on my own, but like the bulk of the weight is on you day in and day out. There's only so much that you can do and give. So it's definitely different in that running a small business. And I mean, the hustle is real. Like I know people are like, it's just really hard, you know, at the beginning. So we financially planned, you know, saved up some, paid off some debts before I stepped away. And then I jumped full time into figuring out what the future of Travel Patterns was gonna look like. So that was like 2018 to 2019. Sorry, I'm like breaking this down.
No, that's amazing that you know all the dates. Yeah. I'm like,
well, there were like so many like formative things like happened, you know, in those years that like I guess you just kind of follow. Like I can follow the milestones of the business with my, you know, with my life, and so like that's interesting to like look back. But you know, we were in the full throes of like trying to figure out what wholesale would look like with our products, and then 2020 hit.
Yeah.
And so that just kind of wrecked me emotionally, obviously wrecked a lot of people emotionally.
Yes.
Had us asking a lot of questions about how do you run a business that supports global artisans who are in really vulnerable communities during a pandemic. Like what does that look like? And how do we go from here, and where has the business been successful? So I think your question was, how did I get to a brick and mortar? Maybe you didn't even ask that. I promise I'm getting to that. So I had never written a business plan.
Yeah.
Did you have a business plan?
No. Did you like Google business plan?
So no, my husband literally for the first 5 years, he was like, you need to write a business plan. And I'm like, no, I don't do business. I'm fine. I'm creative. Like I don't need a business plan.
Yeah.
No. So basically into 2019, which was just really fortunate, I started writing my business plan. So I took like the first part of 2020 to like write a business plan, see where we were successful, see how we actually wanted to move forward in the business and what the past and the future was going to look like for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it became pretty clear that we really wanted to set down like actual roots in Huntsville. Obviously we were in Huntsville, like we're based out of Huntsville, but it was mostly e-commerce at the time. Like I hadn't been able to do a pop-up.
Yeah.
Hadn't been able to do a pop-up. So we're like, we're going to open a retail shop.
Let's do
it. In 2020. So that's what happened.
That is like so many of the guests, Lauren, that I've been on, have everything happened in 2020 for them.
I know. It's so interesting because you look at a year that was like so traumatic and life-changing and tragic for so many people. Mm-hmm. But the thing that happens when you have something like that is it's such a catalyst for...
like, what do I really want to do? Like,
yeah.
I got to make, you know...
Yeah, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And you can... I mean, Huntsville and Madison specifically, you can just see the ripple effect of people are getting connected and building amazing, beautiful things here at a rate that is unreal. Like, that hasn't existed in the last, like, 10 years before it. It's cool.
Yes.
So I love that. Cool. That's why I love that you have a podcast. It's just, like... You even building this is amazing.
Thank you.
It's just such good timing to connect with people.
Yeah, I love it. I love connecting, and like, there's only been one male guest, but I love like supporting the women that come on with their, you know, talk about their businesses and help promote it any way that I can. And I've talked about your store so many times because I'm so in love with the hats. So let's talk about the Bryn Mawr for a second.
Yes.
So,
okay. Yes.
How did that idea come about?
Oh, it's such a good question. Yeah, so I kind of have this, like, split personality, right? I'm like, okay, so we have travel patterns. Most people are like, wait, the Bryn Mawr? But travel patterns. I'm like, okay, the company is travel patterns. The Bryn Mawr is just one of our offerings.
Yes.
But the Bryn Mawr, has obviously taken on a whole personality of her own. So one of our goals when we opened the retail shop is we wanted to be able to have different, interesting, creative workshops that you couldn't really get anywhere else. But we're like, what does that look like for travel patterns for our target market, right?
Sure.
One of the other reasons why we wanted to open a brick and mortar, not only to showcase, obviously, the travel patterns products, but we wanted to pull in other amazing either fair trade brands or just global artisan crafted products. Because obviously, when you're in this space, you find just other amazing companies. So I really wanted to create a space where we could house our own products and welcome in other products from other amazing brands, but also do really cool, like, found and vintage items. So the shop is literally just, if I could explode myself into a building, that's what it is. And I feel like we've accomplished that. Obviously, like, you know, when you're doing it on family dollars, like, you can't get it perfect, but she's a work in progress. But so my mom and I love going to flea markets and thrifting and estate sales. Like, 90% of my house is going to be a flea market find. Like, that's obviously, I don't have to do that for all of my design clients, but for my own sake, that is where I would prefer to get most of my stuff. So we wanted to be able to offer just really interesting, keeping that, like, idea of this uniquely curated shop.
Can't get it anywhere else. It's totally unique.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously, like, we have a heavy focus on the global products and sourcing things from overseas and building those relationships with global partners. But then we also wanted to curate things closer to home. And, again, kind of going back to the pandemic, like, how can we still curate this, like, inspired, eclectic living, but do it a little closer to home? So we wanted, I don't know if the shop is doing that well, but that is kind of the big vision. So to your question about the Bryn Mawr, we wanted to bring, like, flea market finds in a tangible way, in a smaller tangible way, to the shop earlier. And my cousin Alex was actually my first employee that I hired. And there's actually a shop in Dallas that's doing similar, like, curated hats. Not quite as much, like, vintagey stuff. Like, they have a lot of, like, lots of charms and stuff that you can, like, bulk buy.
Okay.
But I was like, dude, I already have, like, literally so many flea market things that, like, my mom was either doing, like, fun crafts for. And so we're like, all right, we're going to try it. Like, we'll do... I'm a hat person. Like, I love hats anyway.
Love hats.
So we're like, we're going to do curated vintage flea market type hats and see if it takes off. And it did. So we did one workshop. It was crazy. It was so fun. It sold out really fast. And then we were like, all right, we're going to make this a permanent part of the shop. So it just started as a workshop.
Okay.
But then we're like, well, we're still finding stuff. So that's what we do. We flea market all the time. Keep it fresh.
Yes. So, you know, when you were talking about your grandparents, it reminded me of when I did the Bryn Mawr workshop at your store because yes. when you go through and you see the charms and you see mm-hmm. the stamps and you see, you know, the tchotchkes, like yep. we'll talk about, you know, yes. like I talked about.
Yes.
It does weave in like your past, like yep. if you want it to, like depending on yep. what you want to do. But it does make everything so personal. And if you want it to represent, you know, it represents you yep. and like things that you're drawn to. And so it is yep. a talking piece. It is something that is really special.
Yeah.
And so I love that. And I feel like that you've created that, like yes. to build that, to help like with your memory of the past and to have
Yay!
Something
okay, good.
That like you can hold on to, about it and like just talk about yourself, but like in a different, like without even having to yes. say words.
Okay. So literally I am so glad that that has translated that. I like can't stop smiling right now because, you know, when you see this table full of just random stuff, like it literally means nothing. But the magic of the Bryn Mawr is that that's the whole point, is that you, Jamie, or whoever it is, gets to go through the bar and you look at these items that make absolutely no sense. It's just a jumble of a mess on a table. And you pull out the things that are so special and have meaning to you. And right. then, of course, we put it into this, like, beautiful accessorized hat. But, like,
right.
the hat becomes the embodiment of each person that makes them.
Yes.
You know, we've had people, like, be like, well, would you make pre-curated hats? And we did that a little bit at the beginning, and they didn't do very well. And I think the point is that, like, the person has to pick the things that are special to them. Like, mm-hmm. that's the whole point. It's not even about the hat. I mean, I think that's the thing. Like, people are like, oh, you're the hat girl. And yeah, I'm know. Like, it, which yeah. that's fine. Like, we'll be the hat people. Like, but at the same time, I'm like, but it's not even about the hat. Like, it's literally just about the items on the hat and like you curating a special story for yourself. Almost everybody, I would say like 75% of the people that come through the bar are like, this reminds me of my grandmother, or I'm putting this on there because it's a memento for my son or mm-hmm. my children or my mother or my honeymoon spot. It's like there's literally something on the bar for everybody. And again, it's not even about the vintage items. Like,
right.
even if you don't like flea market finds and stuff, it's like none of that matters because you end up with this just beautiful story that you can just wear. Around it's taken on a whole life of itself. I love that because obviously, again, with our products, like the global products especially, like we want to tell the stories of where it comes from and the mm-hmm. cultures that it speaks to. And so we love that now we have like a workshop that isn't actually about teaching you anything. It's just literally about you getting to tell your story through a different medium.
Yes,
it's really special.
I
don't know if anybody's listening hasn't done it yet. Obviously, I would love your
So
money.
I want you to talk about what's coming up.
Oh.
For yeah. your and I'm going to pour you some more wine. For I know you have something in Gunnersville.
Yes. Yeah, so Mariposa Beauty they actually have a location in Huntsville as well, but they have one in Gunnersville, so they do
okay.
Botox, brows, like just a lot of beauty ritual stuff. And then there's also another place called Cultivated Beauty that's actually on the strip in Gunnersville. And so they're throwing a brows, brims, and Botox night tomorrow.
Love the bees.
In Gunnersville. Super fun. So basically they're just having a Galentine's night, and there's going to be like a permanent jewelry artist. I think they're having a
wow.
boutique pop-up. So in the Cultivated Beauty space,
so much to get done there. That's going to be amazing.
Literally, it's just like a fun girl night. So you do have to RSVP, but it doesn't cost anything to come in, but it's more so that they can plan for like the, you know,
the amount of people.
Yeah. And for the treatments, obviously those take time. The hats take time to put together. So it's really just supposed to be a fun night of like coming out. I mean, it's a Galentine's event, but that's tomorrow night in Gunnersville. Then we're hosting a Bryn Mawr event at the shop on actual Galentine's Day, which we do Bryn Mawr workshops sporadically throughout the year. We do private parties. Obviously, Jessica from the Huntsville Mom, like, I mean, it wasn't really a private party, but when her and I were talking about doing a collaboration, technically it was a private party for her that we just opened up to, like,
yes.
anybody, which was so fun. It was
it
so
was.
Fun.
There were so many people that, like,
so
you met
people.
That, like, you know, had
yeah,
no idea,
you
just
were
heard
there,
of it.
And I had just recently, like, heard about Mad City Moms, and I'm like, and here you are in the flesh.
It's meant to be.
Oh, it's so fun. I mean, workshops in general all over the city, there's so many creative workshops, but it's just really fun to see, like, different people, like, show up to these events. So, anyway, yes. Monday okay. is our Galentine's Day Bryn Bawr workshop, but we also do private parties. We've done bachelorette parties, corporate parties, birthday parties, all of the things. So we host those. We also take the Bryn Bawr. We travel with it different places depending on what people need. Yeah. Exciting. So we're just slinging hats all over the place. Oh, and I'll announce it on here. I haven't actually told anybody yet.
Oh, exciting.
But we are launching mini brims. So they're going to be for little girls.
Shut your mouth.
Or little boys, whatever they want. But we've been asked to do that for like a year, and I couldn't find a good supplier for like actual children's
hats. That is going to be the most adorable.
I'm so excited because we have little girls come in all the time, and our hats are just way too big, but they like want to find really fun brooches and beads and stuff. And so we finally found like a good quality children's hat that we're pumped about. So you heard it here first. We have mini brims coming, so we'll probably do mommy and me nights, and like we'll do little girls' birthday parties and stuff with the Bryn Bawr.
That is so fun. I'm already thinking of like all that. I have a boy, so I'm gonna have to do like a fedora.
I also have a boy, and I own this really cool retail shop, and I'm like, none of the things in here are for you. Maybe the cute little Guatemala stuffed animals, but none of these cute little handmade dresses are for Riker. They are not.
You have just one son?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So do I. Just one boy.
Oh, yeah. So that's an interesting story. Okay. So 2020, we were like, all right, we're going to open a retail shop. We sign a 2-year lease on the building, which was, I mean, you've been in the shop. It did not look that way. It was very nasty on the inside. So we signed the lease October 2020, 2-year lease, and we start renovations, and I get pregnant 2 weeks later.
Oh,
my obviously didn't find out for a little bit, but so we're in the middle of renovations and I find out I'm pregnant, and I'm like, oh, so we're opening a retail shop and having our first baby. This is gonna fantastic. Be great. Yeah, I don't recommend that to people, but we're alive. We're making it work. Yeah, so I have one son. He's 19 months. He's so precious.
He is.
And he's grown up at the shop. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move into Mad City. Recap of events. Not that this was like a really crazy special event around the city, y'all. But I got my hair cut.
I love it.
Of course, like every woman belabors, like when I get a haircut, like sending all the pictures to your friends, like, do you think this is gonna look good?
Yeah.
Like, what do you think? You know,
it looks so fresh.
Thank you. So I went to the parlor at Stove House. Can't recommend enough. I went through everybody's bio and like looked at
you
their.
You totally stalked them all.
I totally stalked them all.
Nice.
I was a major creeper and like picked the girl that, the woman that I thought would like be best with my hair because it's like really curly.
Yeah.
Can't say enough. Mary Elizabeth is who I had my appointment with. My only problem is, Lauren, is it never looks the same. It never looks the same. Like, I left it there, like, does. Feeling like, oh, my gosh, my hair is fire. And then, like, I washed it last night, and I was trying, and today it's, like, going back to curl, and I'm just like, I don't know if this haircut's going to work for me.
It looks amazing.
Thank you, but
it
it's just so curly, and I can't. Thank you. But anyway, so that's, like, my thing. Like, I loved, and you got a new haircut. So
I also got a haircut yesterday. Yes, I did.
So that was fun. I love getting a haircut, and I loved going to the parlor, so it was a really fun experience. So y'all go.
I've never been.
It's brand new at Stove House.
Nice.
And so, loved it. It was, like, the shop is beautiful, and the women in there were amazing. Yeah. So, it was great.
Oh, man.
It was
a great experience. I go, shout out to Lacey. I go to Lacey Hubbard at Tara May.
Okay.
Her and I have literally been together for more than a decade.
Oh, my gosh.
She's hanging in there. Hanging in there with me. We've got the gray hairs now that she has to take care of. We didn't have that before. But
well, you know, I think maybe having a baby in a store and all that is,
probably.
Like, maybe stretched you out. Actually, just a tiny little bit.
That's true. Yeah. But she took care of them. No worries.
Okay,
no
good.
No worries.
Good. Okay, so we talked about what's upcoming for you.
Yes.
For Galentine's, and that Gunner's Bowl event sounds amazing. Tomorrow night, Tiramisu Papery is having a Galentine's Day event where you just go and shop with your gals. They're going to have some photo ops, so I'll be going to that.
Have you met Lisa?
She's been on the show.
I'm going to have to go back and listen to that one. Hello, Lisa. I haven't met you yet. I haven't been to Tiramisu, which is horrible because I love supporting
you. You would love businesses. It. It's the most
I know. Fun store. She's on my list. I haven't been yet. I think I'm just going to fall in love with her. I've seen her on TVL and like you and so many other people love
her energy is like unbelievable. Yeah, she's great.
I can't wait. I can't wait to meet you, Lisa. Yay. If you're listening to this.
Yes, yes.
I need to make my way over there. I can't obviously make tomorrow night's event. Here's the thing about owning a small business. It's so hard to support other small businesses' events when you're throwing your own events. So I'm like, well, shoot, I have to stop planning events because I would like to do things.
And plus you have a family and a child and like to make like time for everything. Yeah. And working.
Yeah. Yes.
It's hard. So we talked about Peachtree & Company. They're having a Galentine event tomorrow night too.
Nice. They're at Stovehouse.
They're at Stovehouse as well.
Oh gosh, Stovehouse is like
it's killing it.
Yeah. There's so many businesses going into Stovehouse. It's amazing.
It's amazing. Again, Stovehouse Wine with My Galentine. They're doing Galentine on the 15th instead of the 13th. I don't know. Nice. Whatever you want to do. And then it's Mardi Gras time at the camp in Mid-City.
Mardi Gras.
So they're doing so many fun events. So every time I look at their Instagram, I'm like, oh my gosh, that looks so fun.
Yeah. You had Amanda on here.
Amanda was on last week. Yes. And loved her so much. So, anyway, so we've already talked about so many things going on, but as y'all know, Madison Mom and the Huntsville Mom do calendars every month. Yeah. And so follow them for more things.
Love it.
Okay, so let's talk about pop culture, can we?
Yes. Okay. Yes, we can.
But what? You don't know anything about pop culture?
I'm so behind. Yes, I saw this on your agenda and I was like, well, who is...
So let me just tell you, almost every guest that comes on is like, Jamie, I don't know anything about pop culture. And I'm like, okay, but we're going to talk about it because I love it, okay?
So I'm ready to talk about it.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
I did my research.
Okay, good. So
did you know that the Grammys does like short video recaps of everything that happened at the Grammys?
Like on TikTok?
It's on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe on TikTok. Jamie, I don't TikTok.
I just started and I'm obsessed that it's almost embarrassing because I keep posting videos of myself.
Okay.
And I'm like,
you have a podcast. You have to do that.
But it's not anything about the podcast. It's like me and my dogs.
That sounds amazing. Wait, isn't that how TikTok people get famous? They just talk about nothing and then it's like, but it's
you
like
just need
so
one
meaningful
to go viral, right?
That's and what my friend so tells me. Meaningful to people because it's normal and like everybody else is like, I love my dog as well. So like, yeah, I hear
that's what
great.
Gets the most views is the dog.
I literally just downloaded the TikTok. Oh my God, I can't
TikTok
say it.
TikTok app
this weekend because my sweet Alex that works with me. Told me that I had to. She's 10 years younger than me. And I was like, I downloaded the app. That's as far as I can go. That's as far as we've gone. That's step one.
Yes. I had the app downloaded for like a year. And then I'm just now dabbling.
Please, if I start TikToking, please watch them.
I will. Please watch them.
I totally know how painful it's going to be for me. But
no, I have like one video. It's like one view. And I'm like, okay, that's me.
I'll go follow you. Do you follow people?
Is
that how it works?
Yeah, like, you follow Instagram's people. And okay. It's different because, I don't know, it's different, but I digress. So the Grammys, Queen Bee.
Yes.
Amaze.
I mean, what, 32?
Yes, girl. Yeah,
it's magical.
She's magical. I'm so obsessed with her. I talked about last week, I'm like in the lottery to try to get tickets to see her in Nashville.
Oh,
so I'm willing to like, give blood, whatever I need to do to like,
see her.
I've had a hysterectomy, y'all, but if I didn't, I would give an ovary. I would do something to go see Queen Bee. So excited.
So deserving. Her whole career is just inspiring.
Yeah, I just can't wait. So I'm going to do everything I can to go see her in Nashville. And have you seen all the memes about Ben Affleck at the Grammys?
I didn't see the memes, but I saw the videos and I'm like, what is happening?
Like, and everyone's like, what were they talking about? Like, was she like, shut the fuck up? Like, what are you doing? Because he's like, I'm ready to go. And she's like, be quiet. Or he's like, because he has, he's an alcoholic.
No.
Well, he has an alcohol problem.
Okay.
And maybe a substance abuse problem. And so there's all these memes when, like, she's having a drink and he, like, says something. And then, so I think, you know, he was like, are we drinking? And she's like, shut up. You know, like, it's a very funny, like, interaction. And then I saw this other TikTok where this woman was like, I was a seat filler at the Grammys and I was, like, right behind them and they were lovey-dovey the whole time. So, like, that one video was, like, completely off, you know, whatever.
But that's what the media does. Anyway, yes. Right? They take one moment and, like, blow it out of proportion. Yes. Which I'm like, none of this is real.
Yes. It's not real. So, I'm just, like, dying because he was like, I hate it here. You know, like, I'm a super famous actor and I'm at the Grammys.
With J-Lo.
Yeah. Hello.
Who hasn't aged a day.
No. Like, literally
years.
Is getting younger as each birthday goes by.
Younger, it's like her body's like regenerating itself.
I don't understand life with J-Lo. So anyway, have you heard of The Last of Us? I've been talking about this.
Okay, that was the one thing on the list that I actually have watched.
Okay,
by watch, I mean my husband and I have watched the first episode, and then we've just so we have shows that we watched together, and that's one of them.
Yes,
but like we haven't been able to like
get back together to watch it again.
We haven't moved, so don't tell him anything, but I
know. The only thing I want to say is, do you think that a fungi infection would take over the world and leave us with the last of us?
I have no idea. I'm not scientifically minded. Look, I'm like in the design
world. I saw the fungi documentary on Netflix where it talks about like all the mushrooms and like how the world would like literally die without fungus. Like it's so important to our ecosystem and all that. I'm not a scientist, y'all.
So we need it.
We need it.
Will it actually take
over? But is it going to take over?
I have no idea.
There's so many scenarios.
Super like timely because it's, I mean, obviously it's very different than
COVID.
Yes, than COVID. But also just this like global pandemic situation is just wait, I'm not going to say on trend because that's a weird way to put it. Yes. But it just it resonates, right?
Yes.
With the things that are happening. I'm glad that did not happen to us and that we did not like regress as a culture in general after what happened. But I don't know. To answer your question, I have no idea. I watch it for pure entertainment.
I do too. But a part of me is like, oh my gosh, this is going to happen and I'm not ready. I don't have enough wine stocked up.
Now. I love zombies. I was totally into Walking Dead.
Like, oh, same.
Obsessed. So same. I love that this is like, you know, similar vibes.
Okay.
But I'm only one episode in. So.
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's like four now, maybe.
Okay.
So you'll catch up.
Well, that's good. I'm not too far behind.
Okay. Have you heard of Shrinking on Apple TV?
No.
Okay. So I had neither, but I
love Apple TV.
Love it. And so it's Jason Segel, who was from like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford's in it.
Okay. Obsessed.
Yeah. Like he's still like killing
Indiana
life.
Indiana Jones. I mean,
I don't really want to see him as Indiana Jones again.
Oh, I do. You know, there's a new one.
I know,
it's
but like.
On June. Oh, I'm pumped.
Oh, you are? I just can't see him like doing that.
Well, he's just old. I actually love that they're doing an aged one.
Yeah, that is true.
Like revamping it with like another like actor, which I think they'll do. I think they'll reboot it later.
Something.
But no, I'm actually like
you're like
he's still around.
He is still around. Like I feel like Liam Neeson could take him though. Like
is Liam Neeson in the movie?
No, I'm just saying. Like I see like all of these like he's like getting up there and Liam Neeson like he's killing it.
Yeah.
Like literally.
And here,
So it's about just real quick. We only have like 13 minutes left.
Sorry.
No. Thanks for talking about your business for so long, Lauren. We can't talk about no. Please, I want to talk about your business. This is about your business, but I have to talk about this. So
Shrinking.
So Jason Segel is a therapist. Okay. He's going through so much shit in his personal life.
Okay.
That he so not to give it away. So it's the first episode. He's like, I've had enough. Like, so all of his patients like complain, and he's like, you know what? Leave him. You know what?
Yeah.
I think you're an asshole on dates. You know, like the guy's like, I can't find a girl. I can't, you know. And so like he follows him and he like talks about himself. And so like Jason Segel comes like when the girl goes to the bathroom and he's like, so you're doing this all wrong. Like you're totally an asshole. And like, so it's like a totally different way for therapy.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating and funny and smart and can't, it's really good, y'all.
I love all of those things.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Shrinking.
We'll yeah, that actually sounds really good.
So what are you watching? I know you have a baby.
One episode of Last of Us.
Yes.
Cars on repeat and Frozen.
Okay.
And Encanto.
Okay. That's what's going
and
on.
Bluey. Yes.
Everyone loves Bluey.
Big Bluey fans at our house.
Yes. Yeah,
that's actually most of the TV that we watch right now. I mean, my husband, Aaron, and I will get to watch a little bit in the evenings when he goes to bed, but...
You kind of have to pick and choose, like, sleep over...
Yeah.
Or business
and
over...
I like to read. I mean, there's some, like, self-care stuff I like to do in the evenings and read books, because I was definitely finding myself, like, binge-watching a lot of TV in the evenings.
Sure.
And I was going down a... dark road. I kind of swing back and forth, right, where I'm like, I'm reading all these business books at night. Now I'm kind of like swinging back to like fiction and trying to get my head out of like business all the time.
Sure.
So we haven't really been watching as much TV. My husband loves scary movies, so he'll like have a scary movie on and I'm like half watching it, half under the covers. So
right.
Like we're kind of like engaging with that, but we haven't like binged anything in a while, so The Last of Us, we gotta like get back into it.
It's
just binging Disney.
I think it's a really good show for couples, actually.
Okay.
So we have 10 minutes. Oh, go ahead.
I see that I'm just looking.
Well,
I can't.
So the other thing I'm binging, y'all, is Love Island.
Session time.
And it's Love Island UK, and I talked about when Love Island USA came. And no one watched it. I'm the only one in the world watching it, y'all. And it's on Hulu. And it is such a time suck. And it's so entertainingly crazy. And it's like these hot people. But what's so fascinating is they're UK. And so I'm obsessed with their accents. And so
most Americans are.
And so they're like, they're sayings. Like the guys are like, I'm so buzzing. I'm buzzing. Not like we're buzzing off alcohol. Like we're buzzing happy.
Okay.
Like buzzing means happy. Like how are you feeling? Oh, I'm buzzing, man. I'm buzzing. And I'm like, wait, they've had no alcohol, you know? And then it's like, they're happy. And then, and so I just am fascinated by all of the UK talk. So yeah, Love Island, I will talk about it more later, but thanks for calling me out.
I have not watched Love Island. That was on there and I was like, oh no.
It's literally on every night too. So yeah. You can't get away from it. Like, yeah. It's live right now. Like, they're literally at the island right now. And if I wanted to, I could, like, get on my phone and watch what they're doing.
Okay,
like, that's
Jamie,
how, like, you
we
could
have,
be
we
obsessed.
We have to talk about this. I cannot watch love reality shows. I cannot watch them. I, like, get physically and emotionally, like, angry.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those. I can't. I'm like, this is so dumb. And most people are like, oh, but it's just, like, fun TV. And I'm like, no, I don't know if I'm just, like... It's so bad. I, like, emotionally, like, revolt against it. Like, I feel so bad for the people. I can't watch it.
Yeah.
I stopped watching The Bachelor, like, mid-college.
Yeah.
Which is
I quit watching The Bachelor and Bachelorette for numerous reasons, but totally. The one thing about Love Island, though, is there's one person for everybody.
Okay.
So it's not like... It's not like one guy versus 25 girls.
Okay, so maybe this can be my gateway back into reality.
And the girls have a lot of power, too. Like, it's very... I feel like it's
even.
But
the UK version. Maybe I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like Bachelor at all.
Okay.
But it's a love show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, they all pretend that they're
in love. I actually have a friend. I will not name her if she ever listens to this, which she probably won't. She recommended one of these type shows to me and Aaron. And I literally texted her and I was like, you don't know me at all.
Do we even know
like,
each other?
Are we even
friends?
I'm like, I also now no longer trust you for any recommendations for the rest of our lives.
You have those people where I'm like, so-and-so said we should watch this movie. And like, you do. And then the next time he's like, I was like, oh, I heard this movie is good. Who told you? Because if it's this person, we know that it's not going to be good.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, sorry. It's a thing now. We're not
doing
that. We don't trust
you.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. So moving into the last part, we just have a few minutes left of mom life. I have to give a recap of Evan's Nerf party.
Eighth? Was it his
eighth.
Party?
And so I have to give it up. Shout out to Tori, Party Prep Co.
Nice.
She killed it. It was the best Nerf party. Gina from Gina's Balloons.
Yeah.
Janice Balloon Art, killed it.
Where was it?
It was at Upper Creek in Madison.
Yeah.
And so you rent the whole thing out so you don't have to worry about, like, all these other kids. So I invited his whole class, like, because you can't bite, like, one person or, like, you know. So there was, like, a good, like, 20-something kids there.
That's amazing.
So we had a great time. So I just can't shout out enough, like, the cake, Veranda Cake Art, the cookies, Jack and Lou cookies. My husband brought the pizzas from Cork and Crest. And it was a great party. So all was amazing. So now I can just relax until...
No, wait. Did your son want to leave 30 minutes in?
No.
Yeah.
And if he did, he didn't bring it to me. He didn't bring it to me. No, they all stayed, and we had to, like, say goodbye to everybody. Yeah.
I don't have any more wine, but hey, mommy,
here, give me some more. Hey, mommy, to that. So yeah, he stayed the whole time.
You were nervous.
I was really nervous about that.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a really big deal.
Yeah, he stayed, so it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad your son stayed, but also that his friends stayed.
Yes. Yeah, I think he's the only one that, like, was it called, like, an Irish goodbye?
Oh yeah,
where you just like leave and like ghost. Yeah. That's our MO.
Can you,
Lauren?
Can you do that as an 8-year-old though? That's not really an option.
Well, I mean, like when you have like an enabled mother that's like, let's just Irish goodbye everybody.
We're out of here. That's amazing.
Yeah, and that it's not a good quality that I've passed on.
I don't know. Is it? He does.
But then I have people that are like, he's 8. Why do you let him tell you what to do? And I'm like, okay, well. What do you want me to do?
I don't know. I feel like we could dig into that a little bit.
We could.
Maybe not in the time we have.
Yes.
Left, but I feel like we could. Yes.
We
could dig into that.
We could. Okay, so my soapbox for this week is I'm old.
What? No.
I have two examples.
Okay.
Oh, two examples.
We already talked about my gray hairs.
No. So my hair is blonde, so it's probably gray. So who knows? So I went to Evan's school for his birthday lunch.
Uh-huh.
And those kids are nosy, y'all.
Uh-huh.
Like, coming up, like, what, you know, what's up with Evan? You know, Evan said, you know, and they wanted to talk, like, stories. Like, Evan said that you lied about a book report when you were little, and this is true. Like, I've told Evan, like, when I've made a mistake with, like, my parents, and he's, like, telling
everybody.
His friends. And so I was like, okay. And so one kid came up to me, and he was like, so you're Evan's mom? And I'm like, yep. And he's like, how old are you? And I wanted to be like, none of your business. Like, you don't ask women how old you are. Like,
no.
Do I school this 7-year-old, like, that you don't ask women their age? And so I was like...
It would mean nothing to him.
Yeah, like, I was like...
It would mean nothing.
I'm 45. And he was like, well, you still look good.
That was a
and
great
I was like,
answer.
Thanks.
Thank you.
But...
Can we get hey mommy?
Yeah, hey mommy.
You got a compliment from an 8-year-old.
So the other thing that happened today that made me feel old.
Oh, God bless
you. I sent my friend a card in the mail.
Yeah.
She sent me a text back. Thank you for the snail mail.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what is that? She's like, you sent me a card in the mail. And I'm like, that's called snail mail?
Oh my
and so
gosh.
I Googled, like, snail mail. Like, literally, I am so old.
I don't know if that's an age thing.
And so I yell at my husband. I'm like, what's snail mail? And he's like, from the post office? Is that what you mean? And I was like, yeah, that's what I mean. I totally am an idiot.
I don't think that's an age thing. That might just be, like, maybe
I've never heard
thing.
Of snail mail my whole
life. I am
life.
Very surprised by that. But I don't think it has anything to do with age.
I'm like,
so
it's a millennial. It's a Gen X. I mean, it's a Z. I'm an X. It's a Gen Zer thing.
I'm a millennial. I'm an old millennial, I think.
Okay. I'm like a young, I'm a young,
I get very confused.
Gen Z. X, I mean, X. I'm a Gen X.
Well, I'm going to be, I mean, I had Riker at 35, so when he's 8, I'll be, 43,
yeah, I had
so.
Evan at 37.
Oh, yes, high five for that.
Yeah.
Later moms, we're killing it.
I love being a later mom, except when I don't know what snail mail means and I get like, how old are you from his classmates? When I just want to be like, listen, don't ask a woman how old she is.
Oh
so anyway, next week, Jordan from The Vessel is going to be on.
Nice.
Excited to talk about some pottery. And I just love you, Lauren.
Oh,
thank you
gosh,
for coming on. This went like so fast. I can't believe it. Y'all go to Travel Patterns. Her handle is shop@shoptravelpatterns.
Yes.
So that's how you find her.
Yes.
Go to Bryn Mawr. Go find some unique things, unique finds for your house. It's gorgeous in your store. You just, it's like a Disney World for your eyes, honestly. Like, there's so many things. And like I said, making a hat is so special. And you'll love it. You'll love it. And so thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for hosting me.
Of course.
This is so great.
Of course. And so thank you all for listening. And we'll talk next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye.